Welcome to the Curious Incident of Equality, where we will be discussing equality for special needs.
We're your hosts,
Rosa
and Ashley, and in today's episode, we will be talking about how special needs are currently treated, the level of their needs, and how they should be treated.
Segment 1, how they are currently treated.
The purpose of special education is to meet higher levels of needs. Special children, as is considered by society, is all those students that don't have any medical conditions that put others at risk. For example, Christopher. Christopher had autism. In the book by Mark Haddon, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
So he was basically segregated, or he was put into special school because he didn't have the capacity or the willingness to be able to be around large crowds or be able to concentrate when there's a lot of people talking at the same time. This would be difficult for him in an actual normal school because in school, normally, there's large crowds, you're surrounded by many people, and Christopher wouldn't be able to handle that. Special needs are characterized and titled with words such as defective, disabled, retarded, impaired, disturbed, and disordered.
Many of those with less severe disabilities do understand the meaning of these titles, and the toll it has on them is just as detrimental as it is for those not considered special needs. Other children and the community surrounded by these special needs are often looking at special needs as if they're completely different from us. But in reality, we are all just humans. Those with special needs are still being segregated from what is considered normal life by society.
There was a time when they were publicly shamed and treated as a nuisance. Now, they are celebrated regularly to the point where normal children feel excluded and confused.
These children used to be bullied in schools because other students wouldn't think that they were just stupid or just joking around, when in reality their condition had something to do with being sick medically.
Mentally,
yes. And now they're often celebrated with marathons and such.
The Olympics,
the Special Needs Olympics. And other students get to see these celebrations in, well, younger students, like from elementary schools. They don't really understand why they're being celebrated as much. And they aren't.
And little kids don't understand either about their disabilities and what they're going through.
So they often feel confused about this whole situation.
2, the level of their needs.
In a study conducted by Carlberg and Cavell, the failure of inclusion arises. A boy in the UK considers the use of an electric stun gun device for scoring other students fun and is sent to a special school to avoid endangering his peers further. So this kid, he thinks this electric stun device is fun, but it's actually just endangering his peers. Now at his new school, he's actually really happy with the higher level of attention he's getting from his special teachers.
And this could be an example of why special needs shouldn't be able to be included in a normal school or what is said to be a normal day-to-day person.
And honestly, it could be true, but that's why we should look towards each student being evaluated differently by
Well, first of all, they shouldn't have the gun in the school, that electric thingy in the school.
Yeah, but he probably just came with it from home, or he found it somewhere.
And if you think about it, like, a normal kid could have done that too, not just a special needs kid.
That too, but I don't know. I think every student should be evaluated by a psychologist, a doctor.
Before being.
There are other teachers, there are special needs teachers, and their parents too, to see if they can be included with other students. Now I'm going to read a portion from an excerpt from the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime. And when I opened the paper and read through it, I couldn't think of how to answer any of the questions, and I also couldn't breathe properly. And I wanted to hit somebody or stab them with my Swiss Army knife, but there wasn't anybody to hit or stab with my Swiss Army knife except the Reverend Peters, and he was very tall, and if I hit him or stabbed him with my Swiss Army knife, he wouldn't be my invigilator for the rest of the exam. So I took deep breaths, like Seob Han said I should do when I want to hit someone in school, and I counted 50 breaths and did cubes of the cardinal numbers as I counted.
This example could show that Christopher gets overwhelmed and he also might potentially be able to hurt someone. And he tries to control it by either taking deep breaths or counting or doing math in his head. But also, during the whole book, we find examples of him feeling like he doesn't belong and feeling overwhelmed in large crowds, mm-hmm. and potentially, like I said, hurting someone, which isn't a good thing at all.
Or even to the point of killing someone, but he sees it as just getting rid of an annoyance or just calming his irritation or frustration with someone else.
Segment 3, how they should be treated.
All right, so there's this excerpt from the Council for Exceptional Children, the policy manual, and this is what it says. It says that special education is an integral part of the total educational enterprise, not a separate order. In any school system, special education is a means of enlarging the capacity of the system to serve the educational needs of all children. Supposedly, this is a regulation, but it's not actually entirely in effect. In reality, schools kind of segregate the students with special needs. The students that society deems as normal don't really even get to meet and interact with these students that have special needs.
Unless they offer their help.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're working with the teachers to help out the class, the special needs classes.
From the previous book we've quoted, quote, everyone has learning difficulties because learning to speak French or understanding relativity is difficult, and also everyone has special needs, like father, who has to carry a little packet of artificial sweetening tablets around with him to put in his coffee to stop him from getting fat, or Miss Peters, who wears a beige-colored hearing aid, or Siobhan, who has glasses so thick that they give you a headache if you borrow them, and none of these people are special needs, even if they have special needs.
And yeah, this is true. It's Christopher talking about how everyone has needs and we don't consider it different from us. But like in school, all the teachers should be able to recognize that the education for special needs and children consider normal share the same goals. We're all here to learn.
And now to conclude our podcast for today.
Equality means everyone, and there's no exception to special needs, because
we all have our needs, and although they might be all different levels of needs, the way we currently treat special needs isn't right. We should be treating them just like we treat
any other person you see on the street.
Yeah, any other person. And this inclusion is what will pave the way for a just society, where the special needs will be able to develop personally, socially, and academically with new experiences and new interactions. I know this change will be complicated,
but it's a risk worth taking.
And this concludes our podcast. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Coach Walker. We love you.